I've entitled this message, The Wisdom That Is From Above. I'm interested in that, aren't you? The wisdom that is from above. There is a wisdom that is not from above. You know, the Lord said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're vain. I love that verse of Scripture. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. The wisdom of this world, the Scripture says, is foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world. Now, you see, worldly wisdom is not true wisdom, is it? Now, what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, it's the fear of the Lord that makes me afraid of sin. That's why I'm afraid of sin. That's why it scares me so much. Because it's against the Lord. And the fear of the Lord makes me afraid to look anywhere but Christ only. I wouldn't dare plead anything else. And that's what the fear of the Lord does. It's the fear of the Lord that creates this fear of sin and a fear to look anywhere but Christ alone. But there is such a thing as truly wise men and women. And we're going to see about that in verse 13. James asked the question, James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Now, there is such a thing as a truly wise man. Someone whom God would call wise. Someone who has had Christ made unto him wisdom. Somebody that God can embrace in fellowship. And the infinite God can commune with and make himself known to, a truly wise man. Now, who is this wise man who's been endued with knowledge of the living God, endued with saving knowledge? Now, wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge without wisdom is like a car without an engine. Doesn't do you any good at all. Useless and pointless knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of that knowledge. Now, who is this wise man endued with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Scriptures? What's he say about this man? Verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, wisdom that's in word only is not really wisdom, is it? It's knowledge without wisdom. But if someone has true wisdom, it's always demonstrated in a good conversation, a good conduct with the works of meekness. I love that word, meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. Now, if you have any wisdom at all, you're going to have a low opinion of yourself. If you have a high opinion of yourself, you don't have any wisdom. Let that one who has this wisdom and endued with knowledge, the gift of God's grace, the wisdom that comes down from above, let him show with a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. What is meekness? It's the understanding that God is on the throne and whatever he does is right and we're just fine with it because he did it. Aren't you glad he's in control? And that whatever he does is right and you're just fine with it because he did it. You're not going to sit in judgment on God or disagree with what he does. You really believe in your own ignorance that he knows what he's doing. And you bow to it. Meekness is submission to God. Whatever he does is right. Samuel told Eli, God's going to kill your two boys. What did the Lord say? Or what did Samuel say? Or what did Eli say? It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Whatever God does to me or you, by the grace of God, if I'm meek, I'm going to say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Verse 14. But, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, envying, that feeling of displeasure at the prosperity of others, thinking it should be you and not them. This word strife, it's the only time this particular word is used in the New Testament. It means electioneering. It means politicking. It means rivalry and competition. Now, if what you see in your heart is bitter envying and strife, glory not. Lie not against the truth, telling yourselves everything is all right. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This is not the wisdom that's from above. But it's earthly, sensual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's devilish. Devil-like is what he calls it. Where envying strife is, verse 16, where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, if someone is made up of envy and strife, let me tell you what that means. It means I don't have any love in my heart for that person. If I'm envious of you, that means I don't love you. That's what it means. If I love you, I'm thankful that the Lord has prospered you. And I want the Lord to prosper you, and I'm happy that the Lord prospered you. If I love you, I think it's just as good as if it happened to me. If I love you, I'm thankful. Now, when your children are prospered, are you jealous of them? No. You're thankful because you love them. And when your brothers and sisters are prospered, are you jealous of them? No. You're thankful because you love them. And there's a true unit, a love of the brethren, a unity between God's people where we really rejoice when others rejoice and we mourn when others mourn. That's real in a child of God. But where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work, instability and every evil work. Now we're going to get to the good part. The wisdom is from above. There is a wisdom that's from above. It's not found in the natural man's heart. This is a holy, supernatural wisdom, and it didn't come from this earth. Now, the first way I would like to look at this as a description of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wisdom that's from above. He's the wisdom of God, isn't he? He's from above. He said, I'm from above. You're of the earth. The wisdom that's from above is first. Here's what you got to say first. First, pure. Pure. Unmixed. Jesus Christ is pure Godhead. Jesus Christ is pure, perfect humanity. Jesus Christ is pure holiness. You know, when he walked on this earth, people didn't recognize that. And that reminds me of how little the natural man knows about holiness. When they saw him, they didn't see him who is holy. But I love that hymn we sing, "Holy, holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity." The Lord Jesus Christ is utterly unique. There is no one like him. Peaceable is what it says. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable. The Prince of Peace, and who made our peace with God. And I think of the peacefulness of Christ right now. Do you know he never panics? He's never worried. He's in absolute sovereign control of everything and everybody. And he's at peace. He's not in turmoil. He's not frustrated because his will's not being done. He's in absolute peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's the one who made our peace with God. And the only peace I have is knowing that everything God requires of me, he looks to his Son for. And oh, what peace I get from that. He's the Prince of Peace. It's peaceable. And look what it says next. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle. Paul said, "I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." You know, that word gentle means you don't hold people's feet to the fire. You have a humane way of looking at people, recognizing their weakness. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He remembers that. And he's gentle, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I love that passage of Scripture where it says, "He shall not strive, nor cry, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." A bruised reed. What is weaker than a bruised reed? What good is it? I mean, there's nothing, it doesn't serve any purpose. Christ said, "I won't break it." And a smoking flax stinks, about to go out. Christ says, "I won't quench it." He's gentle, meek, and lowly in heart. He can say, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." Next, it says the wisdom that is from above is easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. You know what that means? Approachable. Approachable. You can come into his presence, and he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Approachable. Oh, how approachable he is. And then it says in James chapter 3, verse 15, verse 17, "The wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy." If you see yourself right now to be a sinner, and all your sin is all your fault, you know what? He delights in pouring his mercy on you. Now that's our Redeemer. He delights in mercy because he's full of mercy. The wisdom that is from above is full of mercy. He's more willing to give me mercy than I am to receive it. That's just an amazing thing. He's full of mercy. And then it says, good fruits. Good fruits. Now I think of the fruit of the Spirit, love. Think of the love of Christ. His love to his Father. Think of his love to you. We just sang that song, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me." How he could actually love me. You know, that's the hardest thing. To me, the hardest thing that I just can't grasp is that He actually loves me. Joy. The joy of the Lord. His joy in serving His Father. His joy in saving His people. Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. The joy of doing His Father's will. The joy of saving His people. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to think of this. You know, people talk. There's a sign somewhere I've seen where it said the panic button is always on here. You know, there's no panic buttons in heaven. Not a one. He is at perfect peace. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. You think of the long suffering of Christ. That passage you read out of Isaiah 57 told me something about long-suffering. We were reading and that fellow, he's going to go on in his way, and it's frowardness or frowardness, however you say it, and he's going in this direction, but I'll heal him. He doesn't say he'll turn around and then I'll heal him. It says, well, he's going in that wrong direction, I'll heal him. That's the long-suffering of our Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, merciful. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. I love to think of the faith of Christ. He, even when God forsook him, he never quit believing God. Never did he ever not believe God. Even when he had no sign or feeling of His presence or favor, He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Meekness, the meekness of Christ. The temperance of Christ. You want to talk about someone who has absolute, complete control of himself? The Lord Jesus Christ. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, utterly impartial. Utterly impartial. Doesn't show any favoritism to anybody. He has no respect of persons. He, without ambiguity, without uncertainty. You know, one time the Pharisee says, How long do you make us to doubt? He never made him to doubt. They might have doubted, but he didn't make him to doubt. He's utterly impartial. And without hypocrisy. Lord Jesus is no actor. Everything about Him is real. He's who He is. And it's never an act. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When He made our peace, the fruit was righteousness. Now, isn't the Lord Jesus Christ beautiful? He's utterly unique. There's nobody like Him. And here's what is most amazing about this. We're talking about the beauty of Christ. Every believer has been predestinated to be perfectly conformed to His image. That's your future. Perfect likeness to Jesus Christ. Seeing Him as He is will be made like Him. But now this passage of Scripture first, it's a description of the beautiful person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what a beautiful person He is. But this is also talking about the wisdom that's from above that descends down and is given to the believer. Every believer has this wisdom from above. Now, in some it might be more obvious than others, but every believer has it because if you're born in the Spirit, Christ is made unto you wisdom, and you have this wisdom that's from above. Utterly divine. It's not the product of human works or achievements. It's the fruit of being born from above and not being of this world. Now, the wisdom that's from above, and this is with a believer, is first pure. It's first pure. Now, the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, didn't He? Blessed are the pure in heart. And if I'm a believer, I have a pure heart. And you know what the main evidence of having a pure heart is? Well, first, you see Christ. But second, you see how ugly your old heart is. You see how sinful your old heart is. It takes a holy nature to see the sinfulness of the old nature. If you don't have a holy nature, that pure heart, you can't see it. You don't even know what sin is. You have no idea about sin. But if you're ever given a new heart, you see the sinfulness of your old man. And you're straight on that. A pure heart looks purely to Christ. It looks nowhere else. The only righteousness that I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I won't plead anything else. Not Christ and, but pure Christ, pure grace. No mixture of grace and law. Pure. And the wisdom that's from above. You find me a man who purely looks to Christ. He doesn't have anything else to plead. All he has is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't dare look anywhere else. I'll tell you, man's got a pure heart. He's been given this pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But then, peaceable. Peaceable. We serve the God of peace. He's a peace. You remember when the Lord said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." And we have the peace of knowing, really believing, and knowing that everything that God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. And He didn't look for a thing out of me. He looks only to Christ. Now, that's the only thing that gives me peace. If I thought He had to look for anything in me, I would have no peace. But oh, the peace of knowing that everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. It's the peace of justification. Having been justified, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, justification, if I'm justified, that means I don't have anything to feel guilty about, that I stand perfect before God. When God looks at me, He sees someone exactly like His Son. Someone who is His Son, in His Son. Now, that's what justification means. It means that God doesn't see sin because there's no sin there. When Christ died, He put that sin away. And what peace there is in knowing that when God looks at me, there's nothing for Him to be mad at. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, what about all your sin? What sin? There isn't any. In Him is no sin. Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. I don't have any sin. You know, even when I say that, I'm thinking about sins I've committed today. But I'm not excusing them. I wish I had to. But they're gone. They're gone. They've been separated from me. I don't bear them. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. It's the peace of knowing, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that everything, all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Every regret that I have is working together for my good. God's in control of it. Everything that's going to happen between now and Judgment Day, it's all going to be for my good. Every bit of it. My Heavenly Father controls and rules everything. And He's too wise to err with me. He's too kind to be cruel. Now what peace there is in knowing that God's on the throne, ruling and reigning. Peaceable. And you know, this makes a person peaceable, not contentious, not looking for fight, not trying to stir things up. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. If it be possible, it's not always possible. It's not always possible, but if it be possible, as much as life you in you is, live peaceably with all men. Peace, not trying to start a fight, not a drama lover. Peace with God, peace with the brethren, peace with God's providence, peace with this world in the sense that I'm not looking for it. You know the reason people fight? Because I want what you have. And I don't want what this world has. I really don't. I can't wait till the Lord comes back and I'm delivered from myself and I'm made just like Christ. And you can have what this world has. It's you know, the things that men find so attractive. I don't find them attractive. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be in God's presence. I want to be delivered from my sin. And then gentle. The wisdom that's from above is gentle. Let your moderation, your gentleness be known to all men. Kindness, humane. Not holding people's feet to the fire. Not putting them under the law. Recognizing human weakness and because of who you are, you can see why they have the problems they have. And you can't look down your nose at them because you know that you're worse. And you're a disaster waiting to happen apart from God's grace. And it will happen if He doesn't prevent it from happening. And you're looking at that person, you're not going to put them under law. You're not going to hold their feet to the fire. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Approachable. Easy. Now listen to this. Willing to yield. That's what that means. This thing of being easily entreated. Willing to yield. Easy to be reasoned with. Not my way or the highway. Showing deference to others. The wisdom that's from above, verse 17, is full of mercy. Our Lord put it this way in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is mercy? Well, it's exactly what I need. I need God to be merciful to me. Oh, I need God to be merciful to me. I need Him to not give me what I deserve, because if He gave me what I deserve, I know where that would end up. I need His mercy, don't you? Now, anyone who's experienced God's mercy, you know what they're going to be? Merciful. Merciful. What I want most is God to be merciful to me. And what I want right after that is I want to be a merciful person. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Full of mercy, full of good fruits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love to Christ, His people, the brethren. Joy, the joy of being forgiven, the joy of forgiving, the joy of believing the gospel, the joy of knowing I'm justified, the joy of knowing salvation's by grace. Joy. Peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. I got peace from that. He Himself is my peace. Long-suffering. The long-suffering of God is salvation. You can be long-suffering with somebody you love. You will be long-suffering towards somebody you love. You'll go the extra mile with them. Patient. Gentleness, kindness, goodness, merciful. That's what a good man is. When it's talking about goodness, it's a merciful attitude. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Full of good fruit. The fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. Next, the wisdom that is from above is without partiality. Clear in speech. Without showing favoritism. Without showing favoritism to one part of Scripture over the other. Impartial. You bow to all God says. You don't pick out one part you like and another part you don't. You just say, well, I don't know what that means. I'm not even going to deal with it. No, you bow before the Word of God. Every believer does that has this wisdom that's from above. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, who in here is without hypocrisy? Raise your hand. Don't think anybody's going to do it. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think I'm the biggest hypocrite to ever live. I mean, I think that every single day. But that pure heart, it's not a hypocrite. It's real before God. It's real. Now, all the stuff about me is all hypocrisy, but not the new heart. Just as the Lord's not a hypocrite. He's not an actor. He's not a pretender. And neither is the new heart. It's honest before God. It doesn't practice hypocrisy before God. Now, the old heart does. The old man does, but the new man doesn't. Somebody says, should you be making this distinction? Yeah, I don't know how else to handle it. The old man always is unbelieving, always hypocritical, always sinful. The new man always believes. It's never hypocritical. And it doesn't sin. It doesn't sin. It's the gift of God's grace. It's that new man. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now this is the wise man who's endued with knowledge. He's a peacemaker. He's a peacemaker. He preaches the gospel of peace. And the only peace there is righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. That's his message, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how beautiful this wisdom that's from above is. First, it's embodied and typified by our Lord. Oh, how pure in heart, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's a beautiful description of our Lord. But that's a description of the wisdom that comes down from above, that every believer has. It's the product of the new nature. First pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, don't you want this wisdom that's from above? That's my prayer, that's my desire, that the Lord would give me and you this wisdom that's from above. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in the name of Thy Son that we might be graced to have this wisdom that's from above, that's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, Lord, no man has any of that by nature. We ask in Christ's name that You'd give this to us, put it in us, and Lord, order our steps in Your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over us, and bless this message for Christ's sake. And how thankful we are that He is our wisdom, that He is our righteousness, that He is our sanctification, and that He is our redemption. Lord, we believe He's all, and He's altogether glorious and beautiful. We know He's that to You, and He's that to us, and we look to Him only. In His name we pray. Amen. We got one.